All right, well, without further ado, we bring in our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. As we're going to talk some Browns, we're going to talk some Cavs. Daryl, how you doing tonight, my man?
I'm doing good.
We've been talking so far at the top of the show kind of just about the Browns, and I specifically been kind of wondering, Daryl, like, as Al Saunders joined Ken and Lyman this morning and talked about how the leadership and the voice really starts with the coach, and I agree with that, but I also just think, like, good teams need a guy in the locker room who can hold guys accountable and kind of share that message from the player perspective, and it resonates with their peers. I think the Browns obviously used to have that in Jarvis Landry. Understandable why they let him walk and they didn't want to pay him the money. But it seemed like that was missing this year. I think Myles Garrett tried to be that, but I don't know if that role suits him. So I guess from your perspective, Daryl, like, who do you think is the Browns maybe player leader, or who do you think it's going to be in 2023?
They really don't have one. Plain and simple. Nick Chubb's not a vocal guy. He just goes out and plays. Amari Cooper's not a vocal guy. He just goes out and plays and produces. Jacoby Brissett was that guy for at least 11 games on the offensive side, but he took a step back out of respect for Deshaun Watson. They don't have one. There ain't anybody on defense. I don't know. For as great of a player as Myles Garrett is, I don't know how you can call him a leader when he was disciplined by the coach. I've never heard of a team captain having to be disciplined by the coach for a violation of team rules, because the whole point of being a team captain is you're upholding and enforcing the rules for the rest of the locker room, right?
Yeah.
So, they don't have one. Plain and simple. They got to find someone this offseason, that's for sure.
Do you think they have to go out and find someone in free agency, or do you think that that role could be something that Deshaun Watson maybe grows into now that he's going to be around the team? Because face it, Daryl, like, every time we hear Stefanski talk about him, every time we hear his teammates talk about him, they hit on how much of a hard worker he is and how he, you know, puts in the effort on the field and has the respect of his teammates. Is that maybe a role that's kind of for the taking for Deshaun?
I have questions and reservations about how he can be a leader.
Understandably so.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, I get it.
I don't know how that guy can be a leader. Now, on the field, yeah, and that's really what the players care about.
Yeah.
Probably, sure. Jim Schwartz, I think, is going to straighten things out on the defensive side of the ball. So, and, you know, maybe Anthony Walker is able, assuming that they re-sign him and bring him back, maybe he can step back into that role. It's, again, hard to lead when you're hurt and you're not able to play. So, it's a problem for this team. There's no question about it. Their lack of leadership this past season cost them dearly.
Talking with our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. He's brought to you courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Something I'm going to get to a little later tonight, Daryl, as you look around and watch the playoffs kind of unfold and you see some of the quarterback play going on. If you were starting a team right now, which quarterback would you want to start your team with?
Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
Joe Burrow would be if I had the second pick.
Okay. I can wrap my head around that. Yeah, I think it's interesting because this is, a conversation that leads really nicely into conference championship weekend when those two guys play each other. And there's the narrative of, like, well, Burrow's beaten Mahomes all these times and he's done it in Arrowhead. And it seems like really since this time last year, Burrow has kind of taken the league by storm. And I just wonder where he's at for people in terms of the hierarchy of quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think he's 1B in the AFC right now. I think Mahomes, just because of his resume, he's going to win another NFL MVP. He already has a Super Bowl ring. Obviously, this weekend and what happens in Kansas City will potentially change the narrative. Because, look, I think if Burrow beats Mahomes again and gets back to the Super Bowl, and especially if the Bengals win the Super Bowl, there's an argument to be made that maybe he's overtaken Mahomes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think that where Mahomes has the advantage is just like with the rabbits that he always pulls out of his hat, right? I mean, that's just the way he plays the game.
Yeah.
And it's what makes him so unique. But it's a pretty tight race between Mahomes and Burrow for that top quarterback in the conference.
It really is remarkable some of the stuff Mahomes does, man. It's fun to watch, but you're right. We use the term pulling rabbits out of hats, and that's what it seems like on a weekly basis.
And that's what they're going to need Deshaun. That's what the Browns are going to need from Deshaun Watson.
I mean, no doubt.
The pressure's on this guy to come in and basically like we see with Mahomes, take games over, right? Make something out of nothing. And we saw glimpses of that. With the escapability and mobility of Watson, but not a lot of plays made, right? I mean, you're talking about an offense that averaged less than 11 points per game with Deshaun Watson at the helm. That's not good. That's blatantly unacceptable. You need a more prolific offense if you're going to be successful in the National Football League. For some reason, I got bored. And I was totaling up 6 offensive points against the Houston Texans. You had 10 against the Bengals, 13 against the Ravens, 10 against the Saints, 10 more, or I'm sorry, 24 at Washington, and then 14 against Pittsburgh. Like, And, you know, the guy that was supposed to be the reason the Browns didn't go to the playoffs this year, Jacoby Brissett, well, he was putting up 25 points offensively per game, right?
Yeah.
So, need Deshaun to have Jacoby's production, basically, next year, and they actually need to be better than that. But, yeah, I mean, just it's not it's – not going to be easy on Deshaun because he's going to have all this pressure on him to be the guy that takes over games and basically can carry this football team.
Talking with Daryl Ryder. Hey, Daryl, is it okay for Browns fans to root for the Bengals?
Yes.
You think it is?
Yes.
I think I'm with Ken on this one. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
So after Art Modell kicked Paul Brown out of Cleveland, and he went down Interstate 71 and, you know, founded that team. The Bengals have had a more successful history than the Cleveland Browns have had since that point. I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah.
And especially in the last, well, what, 33 years, whatever, since 1990, Bengals, 7 division titles, 10 playoff appearances, 6 playoff victories, and a Super Bowl appearance. The Browns have never seen a division title. They've made 3 playoff appearances, won 2 playoff games, and what the hell is this Super Bowl that you're talking about? Like, it, they've for the most part been non-contenders, whereas the Bengals have been contenders. So, I think it's okay to root for the Bengals. Why not?
I just think the fact that they play in the same division makes it tough. Like, if they were like an NFC team or...
Well, you know, the Browns are the only team in the division ever to play in a Super Bowl, so why shouldn't they be the only team never to win one, right?
I mean, and I do understand where you're coming from.
By the way, before everyone starts hating me right now, I'm totally being sarcastic here and trying to have some fun with the Browns being incompetent and inept for the last, I don't know, 35 years.
Don't call me dangerous for nothing.
Well, it's last night we had James Rapine on, and his commentary to Browns fans was, yeah, they could cheer for the Bengals. Welcome to winning. That was what he said. And then he tried to clarify, and he said, Spence, I didn't mean it like that. Like, you're not going to get me that easy. And I was like, nope, we're making that the headline of the article, James. It's too late now.
Welcome to winning. Well, just, you know what? So here's the thing. Like, so the Bengals bottomed out a couple years ago. And Zach Taylor actually almost got fired, right?
Yeah.
And since then, they've bounced back with back-to-back conference championship game appearances. Like, the Bengals are doing what the Cleveland Browns were supposed to do after they bottomed out in 16 and 17 at 1 and 31.
Absolutely.
right? The results that the Bengals are producing are precisely the results the Browns were supposed to, and yet once again failed spectacularly to do, and that is win, compete in the playoffs. They took advantage of having the number one pick in the draft, right? They got Joe Burrow. Browns should have drafted Josh Allen. They didn't. They drafted Baker Mayfield, who's no longer here, and we'll see what's left of his NFL career this offseason, right?
Yeah.
Had a competent coach that went along with their plan, and they resisted the temptation to make a change, and that coach has paid dividends. Well, the Browns have had to change coaches a couple of times. Had to fire the guy who wouldn't go along with the plan and caused all kinds of problems, had to get rid of him, replaced him with Baker Mayfield's best friend. That worked well, as I roll my eyes, and then had to replace him with the guy that nothing bothers him. So the Bengals are doing, after bottoming out, what the Browns should have been doing. And I think that that's, the frustrating thing for Browns fan right now. When you bring up, hey, is it okay for Browns fan to root for the Bengals? Well, yeah, I mean, if the answer is no, it's just simply out of jealousy, yeah. Quite frankly. You know what I mean? Like, The Bengals are doing what the Browns should have done, bottom line. And if I'm Browns fan and I look at that situation, I'm probably furious right now.
It's a fair point from you, Daryl.
Try to make those every once in a while. Don't get used to it.
All the time. No, all the time, of course. Does DeAndre Hopkins do anything for you?
No.
What about Brandon Cooks?
Yeah.
I wanted you to be on my side on this one. I gave a whole spiel last night about, I think Brandon Cooks is actually a better fit because he's kind of that speedster guy who takes the top off of defense, also has the familiarity with Deshaun Watson.
Let's just put it this way. If you gave me the choice between the two, I'd take Cooks.
I can settle for that. I mean,
if you're giving me the option between one, but I would probably go Cooks there. Hopkins, big name. Get fans excited, sell some, jerseys, whatever. Just don't know that he's exactly what they need. They need a burner in that receiving core. It's interesting when you look at the Browns receiver production this year. Amari Cooper, outstanding in his first year here, right? Everything that we thought and expected him to be, you got out of Amari Cooper. The problem is that after Donovan Peoples-Jones, who himself took a quantum leap this past season, there's nothing at that position. Your leading receivers after that, David Njoku doesn't play the position. Kareem Hunt doesn't play the position. Harrison Bryant also doesn't play the position. Nick Chubb also doesn't play the position. Then David Bell. And you got 24 catches for 214 yards and no touchdowns. Basically, out of your receivers this year, you got 12 touchdowns. And Amari Cooper had 9 of them. Donovan Peoples-Jones had 3. And you had a big, fat goose egg after that. That's just, it's not good enough. And especially now, with a guy like Deshaun Watson, they got to beef up that receiver room this offseason.
Well, I'll settle for the fact that you are at least agreeing that over the two, you take Cooks. I'll rest peacefully knowing that at least you agree with me on that one. He's Daryl Ryder. He's our Browns beat reporter. A few more minutes here with him. Daryl, I want to pivot to the Cavs here quick. As you watch this team, and I brought this up earlier, that this is the first time all season, 48 games in, that the Cavs really have their full rotation of players. As currently constructed, what do you think the ceiling is for this team if they weren't to make a move at the deadline?
Well, I don't know that there is a magic move at the deadline, quite frankly. They might be better off just standing pat and going with what they've got. That's not to say it's a perfect roster or that they couldn't use some help, but I don't know what's out there that's going to get them over the top, right?
It kind of seems like a lot of just like more of the same.
So my take on them right now, as far as where my expectations lie, I think that they should shoot for being a top four team in the conference and winning an opening round of the playoffs, getting to that second round. And then everything from there is gravy. I think them getting into the playoffs and winning a playoff series is would be a tremendous step forward for them. They got to figure out this road thing. For whatever reason, and I know it's an NBA thing, but especially with them, right? They're fantastic at home. I think they're like 20-4, 20-5 at home. But on the road, they're 14-19. They're five games under 500. They're on the road against inferior competition the next three games here. By rights, they should sweep the road trip and come home 3-0.
They should,
but
absolutely.
Like, I have zero expectation that's going to happen. Like, I'm hoping it's 2-1 and not 1-2 or 0-3 because they've been so consistently inconsistent. The challenge for JB now is figuring out the rotation. And he talked about on Monday before they hopped on the plane that, you know, he's used it, you know, some different combinations, and the challenge for him is everyone's playing well. It's not like where he now has to figure out what combinations, you know, work and who's going to play well and that. Just relatively, I mean, everyone's got the capability of playing well, so he's just got to figure out a way to basically get guys on the floor and get them touches to, you know, keep them all engaged and active, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's going to be challenging because Ricky Rubio's coming back. You know, thank God Donovan Mitchell's back on the floor tonight. They got to find a way, I think, to get Evan Mobley more regularly involved and consistent offensively. So that'll be something that JB's going to have to figure out over the next couple of months.
Do you think, last one here for you, do you think long-term, like, JB's the guy to lead this team? Because, I mean, there's people on Twitter, and we know Twitter can be very hyperbolic, of course, but people are already trying to get on this fire JB train, and I'm just like, guys, like, he hasn't even coached a playoff series yet. Like, can you give him some time, please?
Well, here's what I'll say. He absolutely deserved the opportunity that he currently has. And that is to see this rebuild through and to be the coach when this team is expected to win. Well, they're expected to win now. And I am not of the let's go ahead and make a coaching change today belief. I want to see how this plays out this year. I do have concerns. I have concerns about late game management, late game execution, stuff like that, right? And that's where you're always pointing at your head coach. And I need a bigger sample size than what I have right now. But I will say the sample size I have right now is not great, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm not about making a coaching change, but I do think that the remainder of this season and the playoffs will be very illuminating in regards to whether or not JB is the long-term solution or if they want to win an NBA championship, if they're going to have to go out and see what Ty Lue's doing these days.
Fair enough. I think that's well said and understood. He's Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, always appreciate the time, my friend. Take it easy, all right? Have a good night.
You bet. You too.
Good stuff from Daryl. Great stuff, really, from Daryl. Talking Browns, talking Cavs, all of it. When we get back, we're going to ask you the question we asked him. If you were starting a team today, what quarterback in the NFL are you taking? That's next on The Fan.